Welcome to the Breakdown to Breakthrough podcast. My name is Lisa A. Romano. I am a life coach, best-selling author, YouTube vlogger, meditation teacher, and expert in the field of codependency and narcissistic abuse. I am a believer in the power of an organized mind. My aim is to help people learn what it means to live above the veil of consciousness rather than living a reactive life. May your heart feel blessed, your mind feel expanded, and your spirit find hope as you spend time with me here at the Breakdown to Breakthrough podcast. So today we're going to be talking about how you can heal your inner child. So we're talking about the inner child, and the reality is we all have one. So what is the inner child? Even though it sounds like an ambiguous concept, speaking from my own experience, the concept of the inner child was absolutely radical for me because I was someone who was unaware that she was unaware. I was married up until about the age of 36. I had three children. I was the grandchild of alcoholics, which meant that my parents were adult children of alcoholics who had done zero recovery work. They were incredibly wounded from their childhoods. They suffered amazing trauma, incredible trauma, and never really thought about how their traumatic childhoods affected them. And so they have me, my brother, and my sister. They are also unaware that they're unaware, and they parent us the best that they could and the only way they knew how, by imagining that their childhoods were a lot better than they actually were. When you are raised in dysfunctional homes, the people that are raising you don't admit it. When you are in abusive situations, when your parents are emotionally neglecting you, they don't admit it. In fact, what they do is they minimize their behavior. They minimize your feelings. They act and pretend like it's no big deal. And in reality, it might not be a big deal to an abusive parent because it's what they know. That puts the children of a home that is like this, that is toxic and dysfunctional, at a tremendous disadvantage. Because if you grew up in a home like this, you are not acknowledging that you are being abused. You are not acknowledging that you are being traumatized. And so you just don't know. You don't know that your childhood wasn't fine because the people that are raising you are acting like everything is fine, which means our wounds are forced to go underground. We're watching this play out today on the stage with Johnny Depp in his trial, his defamation trial against his ex-wife. And when you sit back and you listen to Johnny Depp discuss his childhood, it is obvious, I think, to all of us that Johnny Depp and his siblings was terribly, terribly abused. Beyond emotional neglect, there was physical violence and there was psychological abuse as well. So Johnny Depp is a wounded adult child. And in my opinion, most likely married a woman who is very much like his mother. So what is the inner child? Johnny Depp has an inner child. His inner child married his mother, in my humble opinion, at least from what I know so far with what's going on with this trial. So what is the inner child? The inner child is that part of us that remembers everything. The inner child is that part of us that experienced these emotional wounds, that experienced these psychological abusive situations, and has recorded it. It has not been forgotten on the level of the inner child. Or if we're thinking about the inner child cannot forget. The more conscious you can forget, meaning the person that you are, that you think you are walking around in the 3D world, unaware that you're unaware, you can forget. You can forget the way it used to feel when you were little and being screamed at. You can forget what it was like to experience something in your home. You can forget, but your body won't forget. And the idea or the concept of the inner child, the inner you that was experiencing everything, even before utero, has not forgotten. So we have to become more comfortable with this idea that much of what we experienced is underground, therefore unconscious or locked in the subconscious mind. And if we can associate the things that have happened to us in the past that were uncomfortable, that we just didn't know how to process at the time when we were little kids, if we can think about those experiences and associate them with an inner child, it can become easier for us, or at least more tangible for us, to understand what it takes to heal the inner child. When I was beginning my recovery journey and recognizing that I was severely codependent, when I was recognizing that I was in a toxic relationship, and my therapist pointed out to me that I was the grandchild of three alcoholics, and my parents were unrecovered adult children of alcoholics with ACOA issues, it really got me thinking about how my childhood had been affected by the way that I was parented. The concept of the inner child stuck with me because I began to see myself as this two-year-old, as this three-year-old, as this four-year-old, and something amazing happened. I began to develop empathy for the little girl that I used to be. I began to develop compassion. And that's where I came up with this idea that the way that I am is not me. It's the result of childhood programming that I was not aware that I even had, because the mind is a program. The subconscious mind is a program. And once our programs become habituated, they become a lifestyle. They become our temperament. They become our personality. And the inner child's subconscious or the inner child's reality becomes a way of life. And so we can be adults in the 3D world and yet very much feel like children. We can be riddled with anxieties and insecurities and vulnerabilities. We can behave as codependents, seeking approval, feeling not good enough, feeling guilty for things that are not our fault. And if we trace it back, lots of times, those of us who understand the concept of the inner child recognize that this is exactly and precisely how we felt when we were children. So how can you heal your inner child? Well, can you fix a hole in the wall that you can't see? No. I think where we have to start is recognizing that the inner child has wounds. And so we start to heal the inner child by acknowledging the truth, by accepting our truth, by looking at our childhoods more objectively, even though our siblings, our parents, our aunts, friends, and family might say that what we remember is false, or they might say that what we feel is wrong. We have to detach from what other people think, and we have to start at least with where we are in the moment by accepting how we feel and accepting our version of the past. Later on, when we finally allowed our inner child to feel what they feel and we are consciously and acknowledging, this is the way my inner child feels. Later on, when we are meeting with our family, if that ever happens, there'll be time for sharing these experiences with others and getting other people's input on what we remember. But for now, we have to start with accepting how we feel right here and right now, detached from what other people think. So your truth at the present moment is where you begin. Some of the benefits of healing the inner child include a sense of integration, a sense of wholeness, a sense of self-compassion. When I began to really acknowledge my inner child, it was amazing. Suddenly, who I was made sense. My codependency upon other people made sense. The eating disorder I had during my teenage years and young adulthood made sense. My anxiety made sense. Feeling insecure, feeling vulnerable, feeling afraid to speak my feelings, acquiescing to people, scanning the room and wondering what people think and how they feel. My hypervigilance began to make sense. And from that space, I developed a sense that my inner child had a right to feel the way she felt based on what she went through as a child. And it was like I began to understand that there was a space for me to love myself, almost like seeing myself or my higher self separate from the inner child opened up a doorway in which I was able to flow love to my inner child from a higher state of awareness. I began to develop a sense of protection that I never had before for my inner child. I also realized that as I began to do this healing and recovery work, I wasn't suppressing my emotions. I wasn't denying how I felt. I was acknowledging how I felt. And the more I acknowledged how I felt, the more I was able to show up as my authentic self. As I showed up my authentic self, I was able to recognize when I needed to set a boundary. When you are unrecovered and you have a wounded inner child, oftentimes you're running from pain. You don't know how to accept the pain and embrace the pain and process the pain. So you repress the pain. You pretend that you're not in pain. You don't know how to acknowledge what you're feeling. And so if you don't know how to acknowledge what you're feeling, it's impossible to tell someone else how you feel. And if you can't accept how you feel or acknowledge how you feel, then you can't set a boundary. So one of the most amazing benefits from healing your inner child is learning how to honor what you feel and learning and understanding what a boundary is and being able to set a boundary so that you can protect yourself and your inner child. Most of us who have a wounded inner child never felt safe. We never felt protected because boundaries were never enforced in our home, or the rules just kept changing. Mom and dad kept moving the goalposts, so we felt very unsafe. Healing the inner child, understanding how you feel, speaking into existence what you feel, and setting boundaries allows you to feel safe. Another benefit of healing the inner child is you will eventually have less anxiety. You will suffer from less depression. You will feel better. You will feel safer in your own skin. If you have health issues, don't be surprised if they start to clear up. I no longer have asthma. I no longer suffer from migraine headaches. I no longer have stomach ulcers. I no longer have many of the issues that I used to have, like skin rashes. They've all disappeared, and I truly believe it's a result of doing inner child work. One of the major, major benefits of healing the inner child, especially if you are someone who finds yourself in codependent relationships, is that you will heal from codependency. Once you understand that codependency is the result of feeling emotionally invisible as a child, it's your way of trying to get love from people. You don't believe that you're worthy of love. And so you believe that you have to do what other people want you to do or be what other people want you to be in order to have love. Once you do your healing work, your inner child work, many, if not all of your codependency symptoms will begin to disappear. Because as you're healing, you're speaking your truth, you're developing self-confidence, you're setting boundaries, and you're no longer reliant on other people to make you feel safe or to give you a sense of self. You're finding your true self, your North Star. One of the major drawbacks to healing your inner child is that it's painful. Because when you're developing the ability to look within, suddenly you're feeling things that you've tried not to feel, maybe even your whole life. Oftentimes we remember things that we've forgotten, and it can be very triggering. Sometimes we end up feeling worse before we feel better. So a drawback to doing inner child recovery work is that you're going to feel things that you never felt before, and it might be triggering, and it might be difficult for a while. And that's why I think it's really important that you work with someone who understands inner child work, and maybe even work with a therapist who understands these concepts so that you're not doing it alone. And certainly the benefit of a support group is also very crucial when you begin the inner child healing journey. So here are my tips for how you can heal your inner child. Number one, I believe that the most important step that you can take is begin a meditation practice. And people always ask me, why? Why do you always promote meditation? Well, I wouldn't promote anything unless I've actually been through it myself. And as someone whose mind used to race and I used to struggle with rumination, very much related to being the adult child of unrecovered parents and suffering from inner child wounds that were invisible, my mind used to wander all the time, and I would ruminate and chew on conversations that I would imagine having with people. Growing up feeling invisible and not feeling good enough caused me to have all sorts of obsessive thoughts, and they were not fun. And meditating was one way I got to slow down these thoughts. And slowing down the thoughts allowed me to catch the thoughts that were unhealthy, to catch when my mind had some nonsensical thought or some unnecessary thought process. I was able to catch it. When I heard myself beat myself up, I imagined that I was saying these things to a 3-year-old child who is actually me, my inner child. I wouldn't have been able to develop that ability unless I first began to meditate. So step one is to meditate. Step two is to begin journaling. Journal about the types of thoughts you hear yourself saying and repeating on loop. Once your conscious and logical and rational mind begins to understand how you berate yourself, there is a natural tendency to associate pain with negative self-talk once you can observe it. So journaling is a really important step. It allows you to observe what you observe. And once you see it on paper, it takes on a completely different meaning. When you're in your head and you're berating yourself, it's like quick. But when you see the way you speak to yourself on paper, it's a completely different ballgame. Our inner self-talk came from somewhere, and oftentimes it's a result of the way we were spoken to as children. We fail to recognize how damaging that can be. Becoming accountable by way of journaling about the way that you speak to yourself is going to help your brain associate pain with doing that, and it will force you in a good way to become more loving towards your inner child. The next tip is to witness your inner child and to try to get in the habit of asking yourself how you feel. Now, when you begin to do inner child work and you start to remember certain things, you want to develop the ability to be the observer of what you're observing. So rather than be in the place of the inner child viewing this situation, it's almost like you take on the role of an audience member observing what you went through. And just like you would if you were watching a three-year-old little girl or three-year-old little boy go through what you went through, the same amount of emotions or the same intensity of emotions that you would have for a child that you didn't know, you begin to flow those emotions towards your inner child, which helps you develop compassion for your inner child. The next tip is to acknowledge your inner child. What does that mean? When you begin to observe your inner child and you're witnessing an experience or some emotions, you want to go right into acknowledging how this inner child feels. So it sounds like, of course you feel this way. Your feelings are valid. It could be no other way. However you feel is the way that you feel. I know how you feel. It's this true witness. It's this true mirroring. It's empathy in action, and you're learning to offer it to your inner child. The next tip is to validate your inner child, and that is, I see you. I hear you. I love you. And you are enough. Validation is the missing piece of it for so many of us. So many of us were never validated. We were invalidated. Our emotions were invalidated. Our needs were invalidated. Our bodies were invalidated. Validating the inner child is a very important step. The next step is empathy. To have empathy for your inner child is basically feeling for yourself what you know your inner child went through. This is a miraculous experience when you begin to have empathy for what you went through, when you're acknowledging it and you're witnessing it and you're validating, yeah, that happened to me. Yep, that's the way I felt. And you're no longer worried about other people telling you that you were crazy or that you were wrong or that you were right. You're no longer interested in it. It's you validating you. It's you developing empathy for you. And the feeling of empathy is simply, yes, I know. I was there. I know that everything that you feel is valid. And I have empathy for your experience. It is so healing when you acknowledge and validate and have empathy for the self, which is your inner child. Empathy is the healing emotion, and it will allow you to feel incredibly integrated, and it will also allow you to feel love for your inner child. The last tip is to get a photo of yourself as a little girl or as a little boy and to keep it out in your office or at your home, so that you can look at it often. When I do inner child work with clients, they often tell me that they actually put photos of themselves as children in their car or in the sun visor of their car. They keep a photo of them at their desk. They keep a photo of themselves in the bathroom. It becomes full on inner child. I love you. I see you. I hear you. I validate you. It helps to remind you that there's an inner child within you that was wounded. It was not their fault they were wounded, and that you're on the path to healing the inner child. I so hope that these tips for healing the inner child have been helpful. And if you are interested in doing some of this work, you can visit my website at www.lisaaromano.com. I've developed a 96-page inner child healing workbook that is perfect for adult children of alcoholics, children of narcissistic parents, and for those who are on the healing path and are interested in inner child healing work. Namaste, everybody. Until next time, you are enough. Bye for now.